Let's just ask the Lord to watch over this message. Father, I want to ask you to give me wisdom that I need to communicate what's in your written word. And some of these things are they have an awful lot of gravity to them. And Lord, I pray that your name, Lord Jesus, your name at the end of this would be magnified and you would be honored, Lord, that you watch over us and protect us and keep us from sin. And Lord, help me to try to communicate these things properly. In Jesus' dear name I pray, Lord. Amen. Ethan, come here a second. This is my grandson, Ethan. And I've asked him actually to come up here. I want to hold him a minute. Ethan's 4 years old. Okay? And, Ethan's 4 years old. All right, I'm going to tell you something, the story that happened to me when I was 4 years old and happened to a neighbor kid friend of mine named Jimmy Lieberman when he was 4 years old. Okay, Ethan, Tanner, how old are you? 9? I want you to go downstairs. Gregory, I want you to go downstairs with Ethan. You guys are out right now. Go and get downstairs and see the 10 ladies down there, and then we're going to be in good shape. I had Ethan stand here because I want you to get just I need to have a picture in your mind of what a four-year-old kind of really is like, you know, I just want to have this as an impact. Okay, this actually happened to me when I was 4 years old. One day, there was a little kid in the neighborhood named Jimmy Lieberman. I used to ride my tricycle and scooters up and down the street with him. He was my neighbor. He lived a few blocks away from me. Jimmy Lieberman's dad worked at Bethlehem Steel, but he had a girlfriend. His mom, Jimmy's mom, Mr. Lieberman's wife, and the two children lived up the street from us. But the wife was right there, and the husband was at Bethlehem Steel, and he had this girlfriend. Well, for one reason or another, the wife couldn't handle this, all right? So when the husband went to work that night, he worked the 11 to 7 shift. And when the kids were tired, she took Jimmy Lieberman, my friend, who I used to ride up and down the street in a scooter with. She turned the pilot light off in the oven, in the stove. She took Jimmy, put him in the oven, for real, turned the gas on, asphyxiated him, killed him. She had another child that was 8 years old, his older sister. She took the child out of the oven, set him aside, took the other child, went and got the other child out of bed, took the child, put her in the oven, turned on the gas, and killed her. She then took the two children that were dead. She hung them by the neck. She took a rope and she hung them by the neck on the banister. The little boy on the higher side, I believe it was, and the little girl on the lower side. Okay, then she took a knife and plunged it into her heart. She turned the gas on in the house. She hoped that the house would explode and burn down. Okay, and then she plunged a butcher knife, into her heart, and she committed suicide. She killed herself. Okay, that morning, Mr. Lieberman came home. Okay, he walked in the door. The first thing he saw, when he walked in the door, he saw his two children that were dead hanging by a neck on the banister. These were my friends. Okay, these were my friends. And I was 4 years old when this happened. Okay, and then he looked and he saw the wife, and then he tried to resuscitate her and all that kind of stuff. And then they called the police and ambulances and fire trucks. And then all this kind of stuff was going on. And my mom was so traumatized by this because this kid was my friend. She actually called my Aunt Lillian from down in Bucks County to have a farm. And my Aunt Lillian was there like in 2 hours. My mom wouldn't let me go outside because I wanted to see outside real bad. You know, all these fire trucks are there, ambulances, and you're a little kid, police cars and all this kind of thing. And to make a long story short, they sent me down there for about 3 or 4 weeks to my aunt's house till they thought everything settled down. But, of course, as soon as I got back to the house, you know, all my other neighborhood friends told me all the stuff that had been going on and how she murdered her children, okay? How did this happen? how in the world did this happen? Okay? But what really caused me to speak about this tonight is this publication. By the way, here's an article, the front page article, a photocopy of this incident that took place when I was only 4 years old. I held Ethan up here to show you, just to give you a mind's clip again. Everybody in here knows what a four-year-old kid looks like. But I want you to just see again how somebody could murder him, okay? And then also, I was four at that time, okay? And how this thing could take place. And we're going to read through Proverbs 4, 5, 6, and 7. We're going to read through Psalm 1. And we're going to look at a few verses in Hebrews and some of those things and see what the Lord has to say about adultery and the sin and shenanigans that can take place. But what really prompted me to do this was about 4 weeks ago, my brother Paul walked in the office, and he told me about a guy named Tom White. Now, Tom White is the president and head of Voice of the Martyrs, okay? How many have heard of Voice of the Martyrs in here, okay? Are you, if you don't know, I'm going to tell you what happened here. His picture's on the inside of this. I've supported these people for years and years and years, all right? Tom White, this is his picture right here, okay, got involved with a girl under 17. She was a juvenile. I don't know how old this girl was, but he had some kind of a sexual affair with her. When it came out as president of this outfit, it was so embarrassing to him, so embarrassing to the family, so embarrassing to everybody. He took a gun and blew his brains out. Now, this guy's a Christian, allegedly a Christian, and I'd like to believe that he is a Christian. And Christians can fall into real serious sins. But frankly, we need to take a look at a couple of these things. Tom White was 64 years old, okay? I just turned 65. He's my age, Tom White. This kind of stuff can happen to a guy in the church, somebody who claims to love the Lord, which I really believe he actually did. Okay, how do these things happen? All right, just now briefly, I got to tell you. Most of you knew I used to like to fly little airplanes from when I was in my 20s, early 20s, up until about 10 years ago. I used to fly little airplanes, and one of the things that I believe kept me safe all those years of flying is I used to like to read accident reports. It was a hobby of mine. I would read accident reports. And I got on the mailing list of these things where they would send you the reports, like airplanes crash here, crash there. And the federal government spends a ton of money. If an airplane crashes, they go out with these teams of forensic investigators, and they really dig into these things and find out why these planes crash. Okay, so I said to myself, well, what I ought to do is we ought to look at God's Word and compare what's going on here with these situations and what actually really happened here. Seriously. So that we could learn, just like the pilots learn, what not to do in certain situations so they don't have any more accidents. That's why aviation today is one of the safest means of transportation in the world, especially in the United States. These guys, they've learned, and they've made serious mistakes in the past, but hopefully they've corrected all these things. And if you follow the procedures now, you're pretty safe flying an airplane. They've got this thing honed down to a real science. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I want to first go to a verse that I quoted, that Sean quoted this morning in Sunday school, Exodus 20:20. I want to put on perfect lenses, all right? This is the perfect lens. I call this the 20:20 verse. You want to have perfect vision. Okay, we're going to go here. We're going to take a look at this. He quoted this. By the way, Sean quoted two or three verses this morning in Sunday school and two or three verses in church that I'm quoting tonight. Now, I believe that the reason for that is that I actually have these written down here, the very verses he was quoting, okay? I believe there's the Lord is in this message. I really believe this, that I want to try to communicate this to you. He quoted these very verses, okay, that we're going to take a look at right now, okay? And I want to reiterate this of what was said this morning, and I want to drive this home, okay? Exodus 20:20. You want 20:20 vision? Perfect vision within the scriptures. Here's the verse we're going to jump off with, okay? And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So his word is set before us that we would fear him. There's a real healthy thing to fear the Lord, to recognize that the fear of God is the what? The beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if we fear the Lord, okay, and we understand that there's gravity to these things that we might do. Okay, there's things that I might do. I mean, this guy was 65 years old, 64 years old, got involved with a 16 or 18-year-old girl. It devastated, first of all, it devastated her. Certainly devastated him. Devastated the ministry. What do you think his wife thinks? What do his children think? What do his grandchildren think? Okay, what do the people in the congregation think? What do people worldwide think about this? Okay, this is the devil. Seriously, this is the devil making inroads into this guy's life. Okay, using, I'm trying to really be careful here, using sexual fantasies that he has, and they are mustering and they are growing. They're like little seeds that grow, and they aren't being cut off. They aren't being captivated. He's fantasizing, and these things grow, and they grow. And what happens in here eventually comes out here, and then we eventually do the things that we think we would never, ever do. Okay? This, and we live in a sex-saturated society. You turn on the television, there's nothing but sexual connotations and innuendos everywhere. You can't even listen to the radio. They make all kinds of sexual statements. I mean, and the most popular guy on the radio is Howard Stern. Okay, I can't even begin to listen to what Howard Stern and the things that he says. Okay, and he's so bad they took him off regular broadcasting. Now he's on some satellite thing. I've never listened to even 1 minute of him on the radio. But people tell me all the time all the filthiness and all this kind of stuff that's going on. These things take place among our brothers and sisters in Jesus, especially us as men. This is more kind of directed to men because I don't know, really know how to relate to women. I don't know how women think that much, but I think I know how men think real good. We are subject to being bombarded with all kinds of sexual mores, I should say, everywhere we turn. And so I want to try to use God's word. I want to go start in Proverbs chapter 4. I actually want to read some of these things to you. And I want to ask you, as we read through here, I want you to be thinking about Mr. Lieberman. What he saw, the impact that he had in his life, Tom White's wife, these things that took place in their life, and other people all around us. There's even a preacher that was over in Easton years ago. A friend of mine. I knew this guy, okay? A pastor of a church. Got involved with the church secretary. All kinds of whatever going on, all this kind of stuff, okay? He got found out. He wouldn't step down. Honestly, he would not step down. He went to Pastor Tom for counsel. When Pastor Tom was at Fellowship Church over 3rd and Cromwell, this guy actually went to Pastor Tom and said to him, "What should I do?" Pastor Tom told him to step down from the ministry. He would not step down. God is my judge. My hands on the Bible. This is what happened. He was out walking on a Saturday night, planning his message. Somebody walked up to him. They put a 44 Magnum to his head and blew his brains out. This actually happened, okay? Now, I don't know what the connections are in eternity. I don't know what happened there, whether the Lord sent this guy to take him out because he was being such a disgrace to the people of God and the house of God, had a girlfriend and all kinds of shenanigans. I don't know if that's the case. I can't say it. All I can tell you is what happened. That's actually really what happened. The rest is up to the Lord and how it took place. I don't know, but I know that actually did take place. So I know there's great and weighty judgment if we transgress, if I transgress at my age, with my children and my grandchildren and my friends, okay, and my brothers and my sisters, if I act up, okay, and if I get a girlfriend, okay, and I start this kind of stuff, I really believe the Lord will kill me, okay? He probably will kill me in the worst way that I could imagine. I'll probably have a double stroke. Okay, seriously, I couldn't move my left hand or my right hand. I probably couldn't think. I'd probably be laying in a bed where I couldn't move at all. Okay, That's probably, and then maybe 6 weeks later I would die. I don't know. I said to myself, what's the worst possible way that I could die? That would probably be it. You know, maybe 4 or 5 years in a bed or something like that. It would be terrible. I couldn't even move. Could you imagine that? All right. But anyway, I really believe that if I was to do something like that, judgment day would come for me, bam, like that. So I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to read through the Proverbs, and then I've got some Bible verses here that we're going to jump back and forth on. And I want you to also see, and I want you to recognize, we're going to be going to Psalm chapter 1. And there's a gradual progression. There's a gradual progression here of where somebody, in Psalm 1, it says the guy is walking, then he stands, and then he sits. Now Sean brought this up this morning, okay? These are right here in my notes, okay, exactly what he said. But in Psalm chapter 1, which we're going to go through in a minute, the Bible says, blessed he that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, okay, nor stands. And then a couple of verses later, it says, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the place of sinners, nor sits at the place of the scornful, okay? So there's a progression here of standing, of walking, then standing still, listening to these guys, then sitting down with them, and then that's where we fall off, and that's where we get into all kind of problems. So let's take a look here, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attendance to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you the deceitful mouth, and put the perverse lips far from you. By the way, the girl that's going to entice me, she's going to have a deceitful mouth. She's going to say things like, oh, you know. you know what I'm saying. You know, you know exactly. And she's not going to look like she fell off the back of a potato truck. Okay? All right. The devil is going to send a woman in my path that's going to be... very attractive, and she's going to sound right and all this kind of stuff, and oh Tommy, you're so smart, and all that kind of stuff, you know. That's exactly what she's going to sound like, and she's going to be a good looker. Okay, that's the truth of what's going to happen. Okay, so I need to be very, very careful, okay, of who I hang around with and the things that I do, the places that I go. And I've said this before here, I think you've heard me say this, I'm very privileged that I own the business where I work. So I can control things. And so when I go to hire a new girl, this is the truth, okay, I try to hire a woman that does not attract me. I actually do that. I want somebody with a brain in her head to be able to do the job, to be able to communicate and solve our problems at the company. But I don't want somebody that wears a real low-cut dress, and you know exactly what I'm talking about here. Okay, this is for real now. We're talking real tonight, where dangers are real. I don't want somebody that wears the wrong kind of clothing and all that kind of stuff, and one of those little cutesy pop girls and all that kind of thing. No, anything like that in the company at all. Okay, I want somebody that's going to not tempt me. I don't want to sit there with 6, 8, 10 hours a day and have somebody make me think the wrong things. So we need to do that in all other areas and aspects of our life to prevent us from falling into sin. Anyway, we're back to where we are. Okay, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you the deceitful mouth and the perverse lips from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you, okay? Ponder the path of your feet, lest you, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil, okay? Now, in each one of these cases, like an accident investigation, these guys did not remove their feet from evil. In each one of these cases, they went down the path where they got involved with the girlfriend, they went out, they sat down, they talked, and then maybe as the pastor, and then Pastor Tom's told me this, that's why he has if you've been in his house, the doors to his office are glass, you can see them, both in and out, and he always has jam there whenever he is counseling somebody. He's never by himself with a lady in the house. And that's just good wisdom, so somebody can't accuse him of something. And make more out of something than what it really is. Okay. Now let's verse 5:1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. By the way, my wisdom, that's God's wisdom. God has created wisdom. This is the Lord's wisdom that he's talking to us about now. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, that your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. That's what I was saying before. She's going to tell me all the things that I want to know and all that kind of stuff. But the end, she is as bitter as wormwood. Okay? Sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her the path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Now, I want to apply that little passage of Scripture there to the guy who had the girlfriend that worked at Bethlehem Steel. When he went out with that girl, when he cast longing eyes on her, he never realized that this Scripture was going to come true, verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. It cost him his son, that little precious grandson that I brought up here. Could you imagine him actually dying over an adulterous affair? He never thought that in a million years, that affair, that was going to cost him the life of his son. He never thought in a million years it was going to cost him the life of his daughter. He never, ever thought that his wife was going to plunge a knife into her heart, okay? And then she was going to lay dead there. And when he came home from work that morning, that's what the end result was going to be of an adulterous affair. He never, ever thought that, okay? But the Bible tells us these are actually the things that really happened, okay? Her feet, right, verse 5, go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Verse 7, therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others, and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Even if there's not a murder involved, if you have a girlfriend and you get a divorce from your wife, the Bible says here, verse 10, lest aliens be filled with your wealth. Just think about this for a minute. I need somebody to answer me a question here. What does this verse mean? Lest aliens be filled with your wealth. Let's say there's not a murder involved. It's just a regular divorce, okay? What happens when you get a divorce? Somebody give me an answer here. What? You lose your house. Okay. You lose your money. You lose everything. You got to pay taxes on everything. Right away, Uncle Sam, you'll have to sell your house. You'll have to pay taxes on it unless you reinvest the money, which you won't. Okay? And then you're going to have to, I don't know if that's true or not. There's an exemption this year. I think there is an exemption. But whatever the case is, you're going to sell your car, you're going to sell your stuff, okay? And you're going to sell it. And then who else is the alien here that's going to get all your money? The lawyers. The lawyers are going to get all the money, okay? You're going to battle it out. You're going to have a big fight with big fight with Carol, okay? And then by the way, if I ever had a girlfriend, everybody in this church would side with her. Really? Listen to Alma. Right. Okay. I would be an outcast. I would be ostracized. All my kids would bitch me. Okay. Okay. The people at work wouldn't want to work with me. Okay? They all like Carol more than me. You know. But the truth is that I would be an outcast wherever I go. Okay, I'd lose everything. I'd lose my home. I'd lose my brothers would probably just say, "Listen, sell me the half of the business." You know, I'd have to split the company in half. I'd have to get a mortgage on everything because Carol would want to get half. Her lawyer, even if she wouldn't want to, she would go to one of these women's rights lawyers, and I'd be done. So that's what the Bible says when it says you're verse 10 is so true. It's true. It really is. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth. Everything that you would have. Okay? The lawyers would get. The tax guys would get. You'd end up with nothing. All right? And this actually happens every day. You know, and I see customers. I have customers of mine that have alarm systems in their home. And then they get a divorce. And then, or her husband leaves. And the first thing the wife does is she calls us up. And she says, change the code on the alarm system so Herbie can't get back in. You know, that's what she does. Then she calls the locksmith, and then she changed the locks on the house. Now he's locked out, and then he can't get back in. If he does get back in, the cops show up. You know, so, I mean, and right away it's a big downward spiral. It's a gigantic downward spiral. And so the best thing is to do, obey God's word, stay close to your wife, and be clean. Don't do these things, and all these things are not going to take place with you. But if we don't listen to the Lord's word, we end up living a disaster. Okay, verse 8. Let me read this again. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, the lawyers. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. What does that mean? Your flesh and your body are consumed. Let's say I have a girlfriend, okay? And then now it says here, my flesh and my body are consumed. What's that all about? Yes. Venereal disease. Bingo. Okay? AIDS, gonorrhea, SIF, herpes, everything you can imagine. There's a new strain of gonorrhea I was reading about on Yahoo that's infecting 30,000 people a day that they don't have any medications for. They say that this is prepped up to be the new worldwide pandemic when this thing gets going. Okay, and right now there's 30,000 people a day that are becoming infected of a new worldwide form of gonorrhea. All right, I have never heard in my life, where a husband that was married to a wife and they stayed true to each other that ever got any kind of disease of a sexual nature. I never heard of it. I don't think there is such a thing. I think that God makes our bodies to be designed for each other. And then so Carol's body is mine. My body is hers. Okay? And that's how God made us as a married couple. Okay? We're supposed to be there for each other. All right? And so if I want to get diseases and all kinds of stuff, AIDS, herpes, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on, okay? All you have to do is start sleeping around with all kinds of different people, and bingo, you're going to catch something. Because it's out there everywhere. Everywhere. It's out there everywhere. So the best thing to do is stay, if you people in here are young and you're not married, find somebody, when you date them as a Christian, who's been true to the Lord, and keep yourself pure, and you girls marry a virgin guy marries a virgin girl, and then you stay with each other all the days of your life, you're never going to have any problems. You just stay and be clean. Okay? But God's word tells us you act up. And the truth is, when your flesh and your body are consumed, they never ever show the people being consumed on a hospital bed, okay, after these TV shows that are going on in these movies about everybody sleeping with each other. And you never see that kind of stuff. You never see the guy, he has that Chevis Regal thing, the real beautiful lady with a guy with all in a tuxedo and everything like that. But they never show the drunk, okay, that can't stand up, or the kids that can't be fed because dad drank up all the money. You never see any of that kind of stuff. Okay, the devil just puts the best things before us. Verse 11, when you mourn at last, when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. These are obviously referring to the husband is just to be with his own wife. And verse 16, should your fountains be dispersed abroad? Should I go out running all over the place with every girl I can see? The streams of water in the streets, okay? Let them only be your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. I'm supposed to always be enraptured with Carol's love. That's the truth, okay? And I am. And I'm very blessed that I'm married to Carol, okay? And I'm very fortunate because Carol's not only been a good wife to me and a good mom to my kids, she's a fantastic helper in my life, and she's a... how can I ever say to repay her for all the work she's done for my mom? Morning, noon, and night, Carol's there for my mom. All the time, every day, in and out. All that goes on there, we're taking care of all my mom's feminine needs and all the things that, that Carol does for my mom. If I ever cheated on her, it'd be unconscionable. It'd be unbelievable, okay, that people would say, how could you possibly have ever done that? Everything she's ever done for you, and then you run off with Susie somewhere, it's just unbelievable, okay? So if the Lord has given you a good wife, as he has me, we're to honor our wives, we're to be with them, and the idea of looking off to something else, we need to recognize truthfully, this is what happens to these guys. Their lives are disasters. Their families are disasters. Their friends are disasters. Everybody's ashamed of them. Nobody wants to have anything to do with them. It's terrible. It's worse than terrible. So the easiest thing to do is just be obedient. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want us to sacrifice anything. He just wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be kind to one another. He wants us to be tenderhearted with one another. He wants me to be... tender with Carol. My son Tommy's been teaching me a lot of things about. He went to a seminar up at his church. They had that revival thing, and he's been talking to me about how important it is for a husband to hug his wife. And I'll tell you what his little thing is. And you're supposed to count 7 seconds. But you're supposed to hug your wife and count to 7. And not like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. you're supposed to... Anyway, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to hug your wife and count to 7, okay? And so those are the little things like that to make our marriages better and to be closer to our wives and to do what is right before God and put Jesus first, okay? And keep away from all of the things that would... the devil's things that would tempt us. Now, I've got to just indulge me for a minute here. I want to jump off of here, okay? And let me finish this, and I want to go over to Psalm 1, because this is really important. As verse 20, why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and embraced by an arms of a seductress? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man. And he is caught in the cords of his sin. Now, with that in mind, I want you to jump up to James. I want you to go up to James chapter 1. Now, this is a progressive downhill slide. This is a progressive downhill slide in James chapter 1, verse 14. And there's three of these I want to take a look at tonight if we can. I've got to kind of pack these in quickly. The clock is running against me here. But James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his what? His own desires. Okay? He's tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. Okay? They aren't somebody else's desires. They're his own desires. Okay? That's why that verse said back in Proverbs chapter 5 there, is it was his own, all right, tempted by his own sin. And here it says his own desires and enticed. Now, I want you to watch this. This is a steady progression, a downhill progression. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So now he's drawn away, like Pastor Tom has said to us so many times, it's like the bait on the end of a hook. Okay, the bait looks really great to the fish because that's what the fish wants to eat. So he's got that worm out there. But with us, the devil uses a different kind of bait. And we all know what that is. Okay? And then so he baits us with that type of thing because of the way that we're made in our chemistry. He baits us, and we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. That's the next step down. When desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And by the way, between the time of conception, conceived, and birth with people, there's 9 months. What I'm trying to do is say to you a period of time. Okay, this is a period of time. This just doesn't happen overnight. Okay, this just this happens over a period of time. From the conception here, it says when this sin is conceived to when it becomes full blown. Okay, it's a period of time. Okay, but then when the sin is become full blown, when birth gives to sin, and then sin when it is full grown brings forth what? Death. Both of these cases, death. The guy I knew over in Easton, death. All kinds of things. Our lives are destroyed simply because they refuse to be obedient to the Lord, put Jesus first, and frankly do what is right. Let's go over to Psalm 1. I need to go through this. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, he's walking. God says he's blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, at work, most of you have to work in an ungodly environment, okay? And you work in the counsel, lots of times, of the ungodly. There's all kinds of ungodly people around you, okay? And it's difficult for you. And so, as best as you can, you want to try to not even hang around those people. If you can listen to earbuds or something like that on the job, or you have little books or tracts you can read in between when you're doing things or whatever. But if you can, you want to not be with those people as much as you can. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's walking. Okay, now the guy stands. Nor stands in the place of sinners. See, he's standing still. This is what Sean was talking about this morning in Sunday school. Now, he was walking. Now, all of a sudden, he hears something that he likes. Okay? And then he stops and he listens. And then the next verse, part of the verse says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So what he's doing, he's walking. Then he's standing. Then he's sitting. Now he's listening. Now he's listening to the scornful. He's listening to these three people here. The counsel of the ungodly. He's listening now to the counsel of the ungodly when he's sitting. Okay? And then he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. So, there's an old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Monkey see, monkey do. What you are is what your friends are is what you will be. That's the truth. If your friends are going to be the ones that are going to be the scoffers, if they're going to be the ungodly, if they're going to be the sinners, if they're going to be the scornful, you're eventually going to be that. So the Bible says we're not to even, as we walk by them, we're not to stand there and we're not to sit there because it's a natural path of degeneration. Especially of this, what I'm trying to talk tonight, of us guys with women. We shouldn't be around them that are saying the wrong things, acting up the wrong ways. And we all know this and that kind of stuff, and we just should stay away from them. As many miles as we can between the women that will entice us, draw us down, destroy us, and maybe kill us, maybe give us all kinds of diseases, maybe even like Mr. Lieberman, where his son, his daughter, and his wife were dead because of his sin with a girlfriend. And then you think about this. Let's say the girlfriend's name was Susie. Do you think Susie stuck with him after his wife and two children were dead? Absolutely not. She ditched him like a hot potato. She wanted nothing to do with this guy, okay? She didn't want to bear any of the guilt or the responsibility for the death of that little boy and that little girl and that guy's wife. She was gone in a heartbeat. So now he has a bag of nothing. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have a son. He doesn't have a daughter. And I don't even know if the guy would have the being able to. I don't know what you could do. In my mind, if I lost my wife, my kids, everything I would ever own would be in that category. The rest of it's just fluff. It's nothing. What would I be if I had a girlfriend? And then Carol, when I'm talking about when the kids were little, and if she had done this, and this happens, it happened to me. It happened to me when I was 4 years old. Happened to Tom White when he was 64. Okay? We all need to be careful, real careful, who we're with, the places we go, who our friends are. We need to stay close to the Lord Jesus, close to our God, close to the people of God. That's why it's important to be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christian. We want to be fed the Word of God, that we might, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I need to be here. I need to hear what's right before my God, that I would not sin against him. I need to constantly be putting the scriptures in my life. First, where I would do what is right. Donnie Jackson said something to me years and years ago. He said his prayer is that when he wakes up in the morning, the first thing he thinks of is Jesus. I said, man, that's pretty good. You know, I like that. So I pray that. And truthfully, the Lord does sometimes let me think of that. Some other times I think about the crazy stuff going on at the company. But the truth is that I need to pray about that more, is that I would think of those things first. And just also, by the way, the Bible says, I could just briefly go over this, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. That's television. Really. There's things on television we should not see. We shouldn't be watching lots of things on TV as Christians. That's the truth. And if I was privileged when we built our house, we sold the other house, we moved into this one 9 years ago, I said to Carol, when we move in there, I don't want a TV in the bedroom. I said, it tempts me too much. I'm too lazy. I'll lay there in bed with my tuner. I'll be watching stuff and all that kind of stuff. No. So what I did is I had no television in the bedroom, and I said, I'm going to have godly books. They're all laying around. I start one. I don't get it finished. I read something else. The Chamberlain kids clean the house. I wonder what they think when they see all my books and papers laying. I have a big pile of junk next to my bed, on my side of the bed, rather. I reach over, and I have all these books and papers there. I don't finish anything. I wonder what Emily thinks when she comes in to clean. Oh, Mr. Fox, with all his papers. Jesus is Lord. He'll keep us from the immoral woman. Keep us clean. Keep us before the Lord, that we would do what is right. Let's just bow our hearts in a word of prayer.